recorded in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Infamous Indie Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Melillo. This show features real-life stories of Indiana's most infamous horrors, Circle City serial killers, and crimes, both current and cold. I sit down and interview people who know these crimes the best. Sometimes they're authors, sometimes law enforcement, and even family members of the victims. In the end, you'll see a darker side of Hoosier hospitality. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Infamous Indie Podcast, and I'm your host, as always, Joe Melillo. Thanks for joining me again. Big news to start off this week, I launched my Patreon page. It's www.patreon.com/infamousindie. You can go on there, five different tiers, including one tier where you actually get the audio file for my intro, and you can use it as a ringtone. And then also there's a couple other things like stickers. I'm going to start doing, if I start getting Patreon people who actually want the stickers, I'll go order them. I haven't ordered them just yet because, you know, if you guys don't want to subscribe to Patreon and pay for stickers, I understand. Here's what your money goes to. And I just want to be absolutely clear. My money doesn't go to any research. Any research that I do is for fun. I do it because I like to do it. Your money goes to partially my gas bill to be able to go to and from these interviews. A lot of these people I have to go to. Now, luckily, I've been in Indianapolis so far and in Marion County. You know that's going to change as soon as some of the stories start spreading outwardly, especially northern Indiana in different places like up in Fort Wayne or down in Evansville. There's some. Obviously, I don't really care in terms of how much driving I do, but it would be very helpful from my Patreons to be able to help pay for that portion. Also, my Audio Boom account, that's the kind of stuff that it definitely will go to. And then also the equipment. I'd love to get an upgrade on the equipment. So if you feel like becoming a member, please do. Again, patreon.com/infamousindie. All the info is on my website as well, infamousindie.com. All the content is free so far, so it's just kind of like little perks here and there as you give month to month. And I'd love suggestions too. If you guys have like really cool things that you'd love to see me do and that you can essentially be a member and get through Patreon, tell me. Like if it's back, behind the scenes footage, which I'm going to start doing, especially for my bigger Patreon members. You know, that's going to be crazy. But anyway, I also will pledge to take some of that money. I'll take whatever money I can get because at this point it's zero, but at least some of it and give it to Misty Wallace's organization. As you know, Misty Wallace is Bridges to Life organization. They go into prisons and help people. If you have another charity that you think would be good to donate to, I think I could do that too. But anyway, some other podcasting news. You know, I think in general, there's been a lot of questions behind research and understanding of, like, you know, how these cases are brought to you. And, you know, most of my research is from other people. Like, I go online, I look it up, and then what makes me different and why I think I'm bringing you something special, as opposed to something that's maybe recycled and just put in my own voice, is the fact that I'm actually going and talking to these people. If you do it in the right way, you're allowing these people to get their stories out to the world in a medium that's literally endless. There's no containers for podcasting. If I wanted to do a 6-hour episode, I would probably do it, and I would do it via podcasting, and you guys would listen to it, and you'd be moved by it, and you would maybe want to make a change in your own life, or maybe make a change in someone else's life. That's what this medium should be about. And, you know, I learned so much as a reporter. When you go and talk to people face to face, they're going to tell you what they truly believe. Now, it's your job also to be able to tell if they're lying or press them on stuff, but obviously I'm not talking to people that are necessarily offenders other than Keith Blackburn, Misty Wallace's offender. But, you know, it's really important as someone who has a voice like this for me as a medium, as using this as a medium to get to you guys, it's really, really important that I make sure that their story is told in their words. I can't get all of it. You know, a lot of times, like the Jim Jones case, not many people are alive still. So that's why me bringing you one of his former congregants, and he can tell you what Jim Jones was like in the church, obviously time, and has changed his perception. Also, witness testimony is usually, as police will tell you, not very reliable. But, you know, when you hear Jim Jones Jr. talk about the moments that were leading up to when his dad called him and said, "We got to go see Mr. Frazier," I mean, you can't get that anywhere else other than from his mouth. Yeah, you can read it, but the fact that you're listening to it and hearing it face to face, or, you know, ear to ear, is just, to me, blows my mind. So that's what my podcast is about. And there's a lot of, you know, talk about different podcasts out there, but making sure you, you know, cite your sources. And hey, you know what? Cite your sources, do what you got to do. But as a listener, make sure you know where those sources are coming from, and not just giving money to somebody or something when they're just taking other people's work and reusing it. Obviously, I was a reporter. If someone took my work and didn't cite me, I would be very upset, especially when it was something that was very, very long, a long process to get out to you. I mean, investigative pieces sometimes take years, and just to take it and then put it out there without any citation is pretty blatantly either laziness or just not understanding the rules, or I don't know what it is, but that's where if there's information from my podcast that I get, I'm telling you straight up, I get it from online, I get it from books, I get it from authors, and I'll post it online and so that you know where I'm coming from. But a lot of times I don't even need the research, you know, in terms of the interview portion. I know the story, so I'm telling you them, or I'm bringing you them live. So, you know, a lot of times it's just whatever they believe, and I try to get a little bit of info beforehand and a little bit after to give you context. Again, I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. We all make mistakes, and that shouldn't mean that we, you know, hurt, you know, take somebody, an opinion about somebody, and just throw it out the window and throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think there are a lot of podcasts out there that do a great job, even though they may be messed up. And so there you go. You know, it definitely depends on how you look at it, but it's your responsibility as a listener to get to that point and make sure that you know where you're, what you're listening to and what you're putting in your ears. With that said, you know, again, thank you so much, everybody. This is very different. Again, it's the Eat Right Now podcast. I went on their podcast. Wendell Fowler, Alan Hall, those guys are two of my best friends, and we just sat around and we talked about how food can help heal from trauma. I think that was the connection I was trying to make, because their podcast is very, very different than ours and mine. And I just think that if we can learn anything from them, how do we take trauma like the one from Sarah Slinker and Misty Wallace and use food? Because so often in those cases, we're hearing people utilizing food in a negative way. People get really big and using sugar and just like not being healthy. And then after the fact, how do you come back from that when you're maybe mentally, but you're still food-wise using food to help heal your feelings, when in truth, you could use it to actually heal your heart and your mind? And that's what Wendell's all about. And so you're going to learn a lot about me, because it's very, very me-centered. I mean, it was my interview with them. They wanted to introduce me to their audience, and I wanted to introduce you all to their audience and do like an interview of them. So I hope you enjoy it. You know, something different. Again, I want to hear from you. If you don't like it, it's cool. It's no big deal. But like, you know, just let me know, because then I'll probably steer away from doing stuff like this. It's something different. And there's so many resources here in Indianapolis that it's hard for me to not showcase people I really, really care about, like Wendell and Alan, and let you listen in. And maybe you'll get a bug to go listen to the Eat Right Now podcast in your spare time. I think you'll like it. Anyway, this is the interview portion of the Eat Right Now podcast with me, Joe Melillo, on their podcast in the backyard in Fountain Square, Indianapolis. What a wonderful opportunity. Thank you to my friends for letting me do it. Please enjoy, everyone.
Hey, well, here we are.
Back in the Xenia Cafe.
Hello, beautiful souls. Yes, the Xenia Cafe, and that's with a Z, my friends.
or an X. I spelled it with an X last time I published something. How do you spell Xenia?
I looked it up the other day because I thought, you know, that doesn't look right. So it is Z-E-N-N-I-A, and I had spelled it X-E-N-I-A. And I understand now that both are acceptable But I'm sure one's more appropriate than the other, I think.
Well, one's yours and one's not. So
there you go. How you been, Alan?
I'm great.
Did you have a good week?
It's been a fantastic week. Got away into the woods and kind of communed with nature for a little while. Yeah. So that was very nice over the weekend.
Hug a tree?
Not intentionally. I think maybe catching myself falling down a trail at one point.
Okay. Time. Well, that'll count. I hugged the tree and the tree saved my life.
We're back here in the Xenia Cafe, as we have the last couple of weeks, and it's been so much fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. Yeah, we got our bowl of popcorn with yeast flakes and olive oil. We got another tray of watermelon and got a few cut flowers here. We're ready to go. We've got some guests in the studio today.
Yep.
Our studio, the Xenia Cafe studio. Yep. We got
studio audience.
Kyle and Adam today, right? Mm-hmm. Who joined us. They've been listening and kind of catching the vibe of the show, because it is an unusual topic we have, but we talk about
it is that, but it's right down the middle of our alley right here.
I think so.
I guess this is going to be a good time to introduce our special guest.
Well,
today.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I love this guy, man. We met, you know, when I did that 16-year stint with Wish TV, right, where we met. I also met Joe Melillo, and yes, I think a lot of our viewers or our listeners have heard and seen Joe many, many, many times on Wish TV. Yeah.
Still a co-worker of mine and a guy I like to count as friend.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yes, the TV reporter, but he also has his own podcast, which is kind of why we brought him in here today. Mm-hmm. The Infamous Indie podcast is his, if you haven't checked it out.
Infamous Indie.
That's right.
Is there a website, or how do people find it?
InfamousIndie.com.
Okay, InfamousIndie.com.
Just go right there. You can
folks
listen to everything on InfamousIndie.com. Yeah. All the episodes are on that with a little bit of a write-up. You know, it's important to source as well.
That's right.
So it's important to get the info out there. But thank you both for having me.
Well, this is the famous Joe Melillo we got in the studio.
Right. Joe's been a supporter of our show.
Yes, he has.
Since the very beginning.
I remember when I went on hiatus there for a while when Sandy was healing, he would call me, "You got to get back. I miss it. I ran out of shows."
I ran out. I listened to all of them. I said, "When's my next?" It's very rare that you have a direct line to the creator and or voice of a podcast that you can badger them to the point of getting them back on.
Well, we're back. We're back. We're stronger than ever. We're on our mission. Alan and I was talking. You're on a mission, too. We're on a mission to do our part to make the world a little bit better place, because
apparently the authorities are onto us, though.
That's right. The choppers are coming in.
We've already had as you were saying, Infamous Indie, we already had a car with a loud engine go by, and then we're having the helicopter flight above.
That's Fountain Square living here. For all you people who are listening from out of town, I know there's people in Cleveland and the West Coast and the right coast and all that stuff. We're in Fountain Square, a very rehab part of Indianapolis. And anyway, Joe's here, and Joe's got so much to talk about.
Oh, man, we have a lot to go over.
And we're going to try to tie our theme into Joe's message. And
whether it's appropriate or not.
I think we can tie it in.
I think there is.
Oh, there's definitely.
So for my listeners, obviously.
What is the show about? If you were to give me a little synopsis.
Absolutely.
Describe what people are going to get when they go listen to your is a video podcast.
No video.
Okay.
Okay. I only do audio. I interview people who are closely connected to, if not involved with, or know something deeply about. I know that's a lot.
That's all right.
About a crime that happened here in Indianapolis. Could be any time, any place, anywhere. As long as there's a connection to it in some way, I like to put it on. I really wished that I didn't put. I really wish I didn't put the name Infamous Indie, because it has turned into something much bigger than that for me. And I could really talk about any crime anywhere, and as long as I get the good interviews, it would be interesting. It's nice because I live here in Indianapolis, and it's influential for me to go to these places and see where things happen, because location is a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. So when I go to a location, I'm really impacted by the vibes that I get when I'm there.
There you go.
Just something you and I
vibes
talk about.
Again, you're right.
Every place has its own energy.
That's right. So I like to get to the deep heart of it. What I found was true crime podcasts often feel like exploitation. They are taking these cases and the facts about them and fear-mongering to their listeners. Mm. And I understand there is a market for that.
Fear is a powerful tool.
But that doesn't make it right.
No,
and
not at all.
And I think I could do it better, and I am doing it better. I'm giving the power back to the people that matter most, and those are the victims. And those are people who have something to say and how we can learn about it. Mm-hmm. It would be completely wrong of us to look at a true crime that happened and forget about the victim and not learn from how we can make that or stop mm-hmm. that from ever happening again. So if you listen to my podcast, you'll get an interview with this with the Libby and Abby German.
Their sister.
Yep. Yes. She, the Delphi murders. We talked to. My first episode is with Libby German, Abigail Williams,
her sister.
We're gonna have to cut this.
Well, you know, we know what your podcast is about.
Yes, I know what my podcast is about. I swear, I know what it's about. No, you're gonna. There it is, right there. That's what I wanted, right
but
there.
For the people who don't know about Libby and Abby, there was a murder case here. Can you kind of
about
judge
a,
on that?
A little over
that.
13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Libby German, as I play the music, were dropped off by Libby's older sister Kelsey mm-hmm. German. At a hiking trail in Delphi, Indiana, their bodies were found the next day after the two went missing. Police have not named a suspect, have released some pictures, some voice messages that were taken from Libby's phone on the scene of the crime. Wow. I had a chance to speak with Kelsey German 2 years after the murders. And again, she literally was the one who dropped off her sister, was the last one to see her alive. I want her to speak. Mm-hmm. Who am I mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to give a perspective on a life that I have mm-hmm. no connection to whatsoever.
Yeah.
So why not use our podcasting platform for good?
Sure.
That's ultimately what my podcast is about. Not to mention, these are freaking interesting crimes.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Jim Jones.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right?
His church is right down there at the point in Fountain Square, man.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So I talked to his son, one-on-one.
Oh, I remember when you did that interview. I remember that, yeah.
H.H. Holmes's great-great-grandson.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you've had some good content on your show.
I have. I've got some good stuff.
Well, being a Wish TV all these years has served you well, too. You know?
Listen, I ask for forgiveness, not permission. I just go after what I think is going to work. And if they say no, what's the worst thing that can happen? Then they're not on my
podcast. But you got to at least throw it out there and go for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what makes good journalism.
Thank you.
I do agree. Absolutely.
It allows me to, now that I've moved to marketing and advertising mm-hmm. from my Wish TV reporter job, it's now... This gives me the opportunity to continue my journalism bug, keep it mm-hmm. going, that kind of investigative
bug.
You've
got a huge heart, dude.
Thank you, sir.
You want to help people. I know ever since the day I met you, you emitted an energy that was very genuine, sincere. There's nothing fake about you at all, and that's what we like about you.
You're going to make me cry.
Oh, my God.
But our listeners are saying, okay, so what does that have to do with nutrition and food and faith and spirituality and vibration and, well...
Trauma, stress, pain, suffering, all those things.
And it does have a lot to do. Believe it or not, these two things are very interconnected. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how food and nutrition and trauma can go together and, you know, as you like to do, make them more a positive thing, how the nutrition and the food can uplift those who've been traumatized.
That's right.
Let's face it, when you're traumatized and you're under stress and really bad things have happened to you, the last thing you want to do is eat. And you kind of gravitate towards eating all the crappy stuff, you know, the things that give you that immediate feel good. People who are stressed want some kind of quantum of relief from it. And so you might eat a piece of chocolate cake or that cheeseburger with bacon on it and double cheese smothered in biscuits and gravy sauce. And I mean, those things make you feel good temporarily. Yeah,
something that releases those feel-good hormones in your
exactly.
brain.
And at a time when your body, you know, stress shuts down your immune system, Joe. I mean,
So
think about these poor people these people that you've interviewed. But God, it's hard to imagine the pain and suffering that they must be feeling. The people who have the loss. You know, I think those are the people that really need to be focused on their diet. Oh, another truck going by.
Yep. That's okay. What happens when you podcast outdoors?
I love
that's
it,
right,
though.
But that's
so
okay.
Pretty out today.
I can, absolutely.
And you know, a lot of the people I interview, especially one lady, Sarah Slinker, who is a domestic violence survivor, mm-hmm. she mentioned a big thing about how food is something for her to help make her feel better.
Sure.
Or when it used
Absolutely.
To make her feel better.
Yeah.
And she goes over it in my podcast about what kind of impact mm-hmm. That had or what, mm-hmm. what she thought she was getting from that reaction from
right.
being in trauma and,
right.
and trying to live through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Because once after, you kind of lose yourself
oh
of who
God.
You are
Absolutely.
When you go through something terrible
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. A lot of things just fall off you. A lot of things lose their importance. I don't care about eating healthy. I just, or eating well. I just want something to put in my stomach. I don't even, I lost my appetite. You know, when Sandy was around, I lost 10 pounds just, you know, watching Sandy suffer from her cancer. And I remember I didn't want to eat. I, not, the last thing I wanted to do was eat. But then I realized that I was getting, I was not taking good care of myself. Yeah.
Well,
way.
And conversely,
nosedive.
Yeah, conversely, there's a reason that they have what we call comfort food.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly, that's a perfect way. Because that's what happened. These people have seen something awful. They've experienced, and even the people who committed the crime, people who are angry, who do angry things, you can probably trace back to the personal trauma that was in their life. But also, you can easily track aggressive social behavior and violent behavior to a lack of certain vitamin nutrition. And so at a time when our immune system has taken a drubbing from the stress, because stress just shuts down your immune system. We go to sugar, shuts down your immune system. You ever see somebody whose husband died and the wife dies like 2 or 3 months later because the stress was so much on her, and she stops eating and she gets weak and she dies? Usually there's a statistic that show that when the husband dies, the wife will surely follow, or the wife and the husband will surely follow. And men die before women, generally speaking. But we drop off, we diminish what's important at that time. And I think it's hard. It's really hard, you know?
I agree.
A piece of fried chicken tastes a lot better than, you know?
It's hard to deny that a fried chicken and a double cheeseburger sound pretty good, Wendell. I'm sorry to say to your listeners. I had my fair share of Ted's Montana Grill burger every once in a while.
But do they have fiber in them?
Hey!
Oh, there it is,
yeah,
Joe.
You've been asked.
You know, the three of us probably haven't done something like this since you were on
Weekend
Daybreak Show.
I know. Yeah. We used to stand there and I'd be flipping stuff, and Joe would be like, "Oh, my suit, man!"
No way!
Slicing crap all over the place.
You know I'm in it. I said we gotta get that goopy stuff out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Goopy goppy stuff out of here, and get some more fiber in our lives.
By golly.
I love the fiber.
Yeah, it's like I was telling Randy, we wanted to open up a restaurant called the Happy Colon, but we figured there was some marketing problems there with that one. So we figured, where are we going to eat today? At the Happy Colon. Ew, my God, I just lost my appetite there.
But you should see the restroom.
Yeah, that's right, the restrooms. Yeah, they're painted in brown. Okay. Anyway, hey, by the way, folks, I got a new website up. I'm going to do a commercial here. ChefWendell.com. I'll wait for you to get a pencil. Okay. ChefWendell.com.
I can hear them all writing it down now.
Anyway, because there are books in there that are going to guide you next time you entertain the idea of eating a plant-based diet. Go to chefwendell.com. Or you need some inspiration.
Or even just a plant-based meal.
Yeah. Or you want to have.
I mean,
I'm not going to cook for people. What?
You start a plant-based diet by eating a plant-based meal, one step at a time.
That's right. Yeah, it is.
That's great.
It is a marathon. But you got to wonder, you know, how eating does affect someone who's either been traumatized or either perpetuated the crime. And I think nutrition can be tied into everything. Like in Ayurveda, if you look at, they have a pyramid that is inverted, the points at the bottom. The food is the most important thing in the oldest medical model in the world, in the universe, or my world, where food, out of food, everything grows. How we live our life, how we deal with stress, how our bodies can deal with stress, how our immune, everything has gone down to food. And sometimes a lack of good nutrition can lead people to do violent things. But then it's the people on the other side too, the victims too. It's just amazing how important food is and how it's been diminished in our society to kind of like be entertainment rather than something we need to sustain our mind and body and our balance, keeping us centered, keeping us in a high vibrational state. And we know that eating junk food, as Alan and I have discussed many times, and processed food and hamburgers and french fries and stuff, does diminish your vibrational frequency and brings you right down to your lowest common denominator.
Well, I mean, as Joe knows well, one of the tactics of cults is that they control everything down to what you eat. And the things that they feed you are designed to help weaken your resistance to the message that they're sending, and pretty soon you've ended up breaking down your resistance and being very pliable to their message.
Exactly.
And that's how a lot of these organizations, the cults, have managed to get people to do things that you would have never have thought that somebody would be that gullible to do.
Their mind gets weak or more susceptible.
And food plays a large part of what they do.
Mm-hmm. and not getting certain vitamins that feed your seat of emotions, like your B12 and your D3 and your omega-3s and even cholesterol, all feed your brain. And so being able to deal with these emotional things gets more difficult as you get more vitamin starved. So even if you can't eat well when you've got stress and trauma going on, I would say at least take a multiple vitamin. You know, take something. I mean, it's easier to take a multiple vitamin than making a salad and a piece of fresh cooked meat or something like that and the whole normal template. But I think that, you know where I'm going.
Do I?
Do oh. I?
Do you?
Oh. I need more fiber. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Let's cleanse that thing.
Let's cleanse that thing. But anyway, have you got one story that you could tell us that would just shock the pants off of everybody?
What? You're making me pick one.
Well, just whatever first comes to your thought process. Don't overanalyze it.
I mean it's where I fell into true crime, love of true. Oh, you're talking about trauma that I've been through.
No, we've all been through that. No, but one of your,
which is part of our friendship journey, is sharing each other's trauma.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, yeah. Yes, we've shared a lot.
But you're saying one of my podcasts.
One of your podcasts that might be the one that you know would. Pretty much
so. I pretty much live by the seat of my pants when it comes to this podcast. I mean, I go every 2 weeks because getting interviews is difficult. A lot of prep involved. But the thing that got me going on true crime, I'm from the East Coast, and when I moved to Indiana, I was like, you know, everybody's like, what's in Indiana? And so I, being in the news, you know, things like anniversaries pop up, and I started seeing different anniversaries from different crimes that happened, right? And the first one that I remember even talking to Alan about, because this is what started a bigger idea that I have that will be revealed in years to come, is I realized that Herb Baumeister, who was one of the world's worst serial killers of all time, but maybe one of the most underknown serial killers of all time, he killed what they believe was, well, they can prove, 11 gay men from downtown Indianapolis in his backyard, and he buried them on 156th Street in Westfield, Indiana.
Really?
And that's in north in Hamilton County.
When was this? How many years ago?
1996 he was caught.
Wow.
So one of the first things that really got me, what was crazy, was that Wish TV, I searched in the archives, and sure enough, there he is, Herb Baumeister, 1 year before he's caught, doing an interview about a Polaroid that he took. Of a raccoon that was run over by a painting truck on the line, right? They're painting the lines on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
It was run over, and he thought it was so cruel to that animal that the road crews would paint over
just
it.
Just paint over it.
That he took a picture and sent it to Wish TV, and John Lesage, our chief photographer at Wish TV, and a reporter, did a story on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know where he interviewed people? This will give you chills. he asked our news crew to come up to Fox Hollow Farm, his home,
where
he was burying and killing everybody. And he's standing out front. You talk about brazen acts.
Yeah, that's brazen.
He's standing out front with the Fox Hollow Farm, not the sign, but at least the road behind him. Very distinctive now. If you know anything about this case, you know what that house looks like. And it was insane. It was just the fact that it was so brazen and open. It was crazy.
Anyway, daring people to catch him.
Right, daring him to catch him. What I reveal in the podcast that no one else has ever found out before, which I'm very excited to talk about all the time, is the investigator that caught Herb Baumeister had an informant. And that informant was a guy who was a victim who got away. So Herb picked somebody that wasn't his MO, was a little bit bigger, and he basically survived and had to let him go, or else it was going to be pretty obvious that he was going to get caught.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The victim that got away, we'll call him Tony Harris. Tony Harris goes to police, say, I have this information. I think this guy's killing all my friends, my gay friends.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? This is in 1995, 96. He's going to the police. He's telling them all the info. He's getting them all the information. And he's dating Herb Baumeister at the same time.
Oh, my word.
So Herb and him had this weird thing where they were infatuated with each other. He knew that Tony knew, and Tony knew he could kill him. And at one point, the investigator tells me that his informant, Tony Harris, relayed this information that he said, Herb, why don't you just kill me? Why don't you just murder me? Well, get rid of me. And he goes, I don't want to kill you. I like you. And that was the kind of relationship they had.
My goodness.
Isn't that insane?
That is just crazy.
So there's one that, there's a good one.
Wow.
That's something I found out that I didn't know about the case. But if I didn't ask the right questions on the podcast, I would have never found that out.
My goodness.
And I talked to that investigator. His name is Virgil Vandegrift. You say a prayer for him and his family. He goes through, his wife's struggling with some illness. So something to think about. But yeah, I got a lot of those kind of things.
How do you deal with this? How does Joe Melillo deal with this awful, silly side, this dark side of society that you have, that you deal with? And because I know you're on a spiritual walk yourself, I know you've had some wake ups calls, and you're getting back to church now, and you're having more of a spiritual. So it must be pretty difficult understanding how people think.
Well, thank you for asking that question. I don't think anyone has ever asked me that, and it's something that for years I never faced. I would see dead bodies on the side of the road and go cover it for a story, and then go back and do a story, and then I'd go home and go to bed.
Just a dead body. Didn't connect. It was a person that had a mother
and a son or a family.
Yeah, they won't be home for supper that night.
It was a terrible car accident. Their body's mangled on the ground, and I got to shoot a camera and got to shoot around it because we don't want to show the body. God forbid we show the body on camera, right? But there was an impact that I didn't realize till years and years later. Of all the reporting that I was doing, I remember being in Indianapolis, and there was a body that was shot in the east side, and I'm doing a live shot at 5:30 in the morning, and the fire department is washing the blood off the street, and the water's running underneath my shoes with the blood water. So, I mean, to me, that's not anything that I hadn't seen before, and almost like, I'm tough. It's just a body. But meanwhile, I think
you hadn't evolved.
You didn't have to wash your shoes.
Any empathy in yourself? You had no empathy at that time.
I mean, I wouldn't say no empathy. I just think it was like expected understanding. Mm-hmm. It's an expected thing that a reporter can handle it.
You weren't desensitized by seeing it so much, like society is. We see 17 murders. We watched a show the other night, and probably 100 people got killed in the first 5 minutes. And I go, damn. It's like, how does that not affect you? Some people go, oh, more. But there's some people really profoundly affects me. You know, when I see that awful, awful thing.
And especially when day in and day out, it's part of the job.
That's right. I mean, you know, Alan, you and I know, been working together for 5 years almost now.
It's like, too. How do you listen to that? You guys listen to the news cycle 3 times every morning, 4 times. You hear that same god awful news repeated in your brain over and over and over again. Someone killed, 4 people killed this day. Guy died, found a dumpster. And you keep hearing it. You digest and you eat this stuff. I don't know.
I ask why.
I don't know how you could. I'd be surrounding myself with black crystals all day long.
Yeah, that's right.
Push away all that negative energy.
And well, part of that is, I mean, I have crystals in my car because of your teachings. You know, my wife and I have been, we love that stuff, and it works, and it's true. I think being 23, 4 years old, going into the news industry, you have an understanding, you have an idea of what you think it's going to be, and then it turns out to be completely different and a lot harder than you expected.
Mm-hmm. And not in the ways that you expected it either.
Exactly. Very different hard. Yeah. And so that was one aspect that I think that murder and suicide, you know, I've been on scenes where I show up and it's a suicide and we thought it was a murder and we can't cover it. So not only am I not even giving, I'm also looking at this person who's passed away, but I'm also not covering it because we don't want to showcase suicide.
Suicide, yeah.
Because that would only lead to more suicide.
There's another unhappy soul who probably didn't eat well.
I mean, you say that.
Will do to you every time.
You say that, but I mean, it's absolutely true. How many times do people are eating something wrong, and you just feel like garbage, and you go down a dark, dark hole. I mean, they're literally right here. It's doing it in circles.
Okay, it's like right above our heads.
Must be the mayor.
It's like they're circling us. Hi, guys.
Anyway.
And until I actually started realizing, one, water, and two, when we start talking plant-based and more healthy eating, my wife, once I started that, all of a sudden my brain started to change.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you feel lighter.
I'm much lighter.
See, I heard that from Lauren, Drew, a lot of people at the studio I used to work with. Once they started eating healthy, they used that term, I feel lighter. Not that they lost much weight, but they felt lighter. The food wasn't making them feel so heavy, and there weren't so many toxins building up in their body and this sort of things, because they've realized that, the lighter thing really does describe it. And there's another level of feel-good waiting for everybody out there, but they don't realize that the food they're eating is bringing them down to their lowest common denominator of hate and violence. Look at our country today. Our American diet is just horrible. Right. But look at all the anger, the fear, the people who are, what's going on in our country right now. And then you look at vitamin deficiency of certain foods that feed the brain, and the test, there's been double blind saying these people eat good food, these people didn't. The people who didn't remain violent and socially aggressive and antisocial, but the people who ate healthy and ate from God's green earth and the celestial apothecary were more adjusted and balanced. So you got to wonder, you know, how much diet has that played a role in the history of America and crime and all these things? Alcohol, my God, alcohol is another thing that causes people
totally acceptable.
But you know, I can't tell you how many shamans and how many enlightened people I've talked to that says once you start drinking alcohol, you're cut off from source. You know, I remember Diego, I got a friend of mine who knows the same shaman. He got right in my face, like 6 inches. I used to be an Olympian drinker, but I don't, I mean, it's been many years ago, but he said, you know, when you drink alcohol, you cut yourself off and you disconnect yourself from source. So here we are eating food that doesn't come from earth, and it comes from a factory, and we're disconnected from source, and they shut down our pineal gland. There's no way that we can be connected to the all that is.
Pineal gland?
Yeah, see, you weren't taught about that.
What are
that
you guys talking about?
Well, see, you guys weren't talking about it. You weren't told. Did anybody hear? We got two guests in the studio. Did you ever hear about the pineal gland in high school or college?
Not in high school. It wasn't until a documentary about ayahuasca when I started.
It's probably your own research.
Yeah, it was
your own interest
but
taking it on.
It actually has rods and cones. It actually is attached to your optic nerve. And almost every spiritual teacher on the planet Earth, you can look it up, will say it's how you connect to divinity is through your pineal gland. So, what have we been doing for the last 100 years? They fluoridated
it. Killing it.
Well, through fluoridation water. So it's calcified our pineal. So it's non-functional. So here we are, a high crime society, killing each other right and left. America's known as a gun culture. And because you've got to wonder, the American diet is just crap. Other countries, my God, they're eating natural, the indigenous food. They're growing their own food. They're eating logical food that was sent to us by heaven or whoever you created your world for, you gave us. But I wonder how this has affected our culture of the things that you're covering right now, how much our poor diet in America has led us down the road of this behavior that we're exhibiting right now. I mean, we're not a happy species right now.
We're not.
Unhappy. America, the whole world looks at us. I talk to people who travel Europe and they go, God, they hate Americans. Americans don't believe in this, that, and the other, and we do. What's
Unfortunately,
wrong?
That is a grouping that I don't disagree with, but I also know people like you, Wendell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Alan.
True. There
are people in my community that I think that are doing good to change.
Well,
the world.
Well, I think this is part of the awakening, and you yourself, I know you yourself have gotten back to a spiritual bolt of cloth again. You're interweaving Christ and going to church, and you're in the middle.
I armor myself
up
every day.
You've got crystals, but yeah, you're blending. You're not just this dyed-in-the-wool.
That's right.
Baptist or Nazarene that like we grew up to being. You know, you've seen the broader view of the world. You've got crystals, for goodness sake. I know some people
in
think I'm going to go to hell for carrying a crystal because that's from Satan.
Well, it's a cult. That's the idea, is that it's an occult object. It's something that's different.
Such ignorance, though. I mean, all you do is read
a book. I mean, my wife and I, we both feel the same way. It's from Earth. It has vibrational energy.
Exactly. Oh, my God. That was, I can think of a piece of
quartz. What if God, when we're at the gates of heaven, says, you idiot.
Where's your crystals?
I think God will greet us at the gates in the end and then go, most people, what have you been doing?
Yeah. I gave you every resource on the perfect world, and you said this was from the devil? It's so pretty. How can it be? I'm holding just a clear crystal.
But still, there's a dark energy on this world we all know about that has been in charge for a long time, making sure that we do not tap into that part, that knowledge, because it would empower us too much. Listen to podcast last night on crystals. You can take a piece of crystal and put 5 million bytes of binary code in it and take it back out again, you know. So there are energy gatherers. If I have love in my heart and I got this big honking crystal that I'm known for around my neck, you know.
Don't touch it, though. Nobody else is allowed to touch it.
Nobody else can touch it. If I know the person, they can touch it, because it draws energy. If you're an evil person, I don't want you touching my crystal, because I don't want to absorb that. A little esoteric, but Oh no, I think the power of crystals is very much. It's science. It's not woo-woo anymore. I bet you Christ had a couple crystals in his pocket too. Who knows?
Well, that's what I'm saying. How can we deny? And maybe I will go to hell for this, but.
Let me move away from you, Joe, just a little bit. Okay.
All right, now okay, you're done? You're
yeah.
done
the clouds away. Are getting darker.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
All I know is that through the life experience we've had, getting closer to Earth is always making me feel better.
Exactly.
So, and it didn't matter how little my trauma was. I mean, my parents got divorced when I was 9, which set me on my fear of abandonment issues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which set me on my
totally
addiction
relate.
Issues.
Totally
which
relate.
Set me all that. So, you know, being lighter and closer and kind of self. I mean, my therapist says go out and take your shoes off, go walk in the grass for a minute.
Oh, birthing. Oh, my gosh.
Right?
It's a wonderful way to do it.
Yeah, it's good for your immune system.
I hate
too.
Socks sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't hate these socks.
No, you have.
Well, those are pretty cool socks.
I have a charger. I plug these in at night and they get. I put them on in the morning. See, I thought we were going to be on TV today, so I put on my best socks.
You son of a gun. Who told you TV? What, did you?
I didn't say a word.
I just made it up in my mind.
I think because we work in television, he made it.
I don't even work in TV anymore.
Well, we did one at the Fletchers where you had this little tripod and we did one together.
Yeah. That's right.
That's not, you're not doing that.
No.
Oh, okay.
So
I assumed.
No, that was my Facebook Live.
That's what that was.
But let's go over, Wendell. Go for at least my people listening. Because, you know, listening to my stuff can be traumatic as well. What are some maybe basic foods, classic food sources that can help you get a little bit less traumatized?
Like I'm being interviewed here. I like this.
Hey, it's a joint podcast.
It's a joint. Why? You got a joint? Oh, not that kind of joint. Oh, sorry.
Where's that at?
I'm an old hippie. I'm like, you know, Pavlov's dog. Joint. Somebody say joint? Well, basically, it's another tenet of our message, and that is that a plant-based diet is the diet, the optimum diet for human beings, and we're going to stay in that brain. We're staying in that healthy state because, you know, the standard American diet that we've been eating for so long, denied us of brain food vitamins, and that's like vitamins A, C, B, B12, D3, E, magnesium, and omega-3. They can support the seed of our emotions, but only when they're sourced from the plant-based source. When we dip into the trough of machine cuisine and dead food, the zero vibrational frequency, it's just going to, we die a little bit. We get weaker. And so, you know, we watch TV news and violent, bloody movies, and we hang around energy-sucking people, and we take things personally and that we can't control, and we don't meditate, and we forget about the breathing exercises and exercising and those moments of silence that we must get every day to keep us grounded. And society doesn't allow us to do these things very well. And today we get a little crazy and we kind of forget what's important. So, but I think eating a plant-based diet, taking a multiple vitamin, finding time to meditate, that's the diet,
but when your brain is filled with negative energy,
it's tough
from seeing something. It could be the person could have been a well-rounded, well-balanced person, but you see someone shot in front of you at the street, or you're shot, like my one lady Misty Wallace, who's helping more people with her organization. So if you listen to that episode, you can listen to her story. But she was shot making a phone call at a Burger King by a guy who just wanted her car.
That's something.
Left for dead.
Yeah, probably on drugs.
He was. So you'll have to listen to that episode because I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Oh, no,
happens,
everybody who's
it's
listening
beyond,
today, make sure
it's
you
a
go
great
look
story.
This.
You like
it
that
one.
It is a great story.
Y'all need to go to and listen to these
Thank
podcasts.
You,
for
you know what episode it is?
Do I know a number?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, no, I don't remember. it's one of the top 15 because I only have 15.
Go to the queue.
So it's like,
what's the name?
It's Misty Wallace. It's a story of survival and forgiveness. So.
And one more time, your podcast is?
The Infamous Indie Podcast.
All right. Right. Y'all got that, folks?
Okay, sorry. She's a perfect example. So she went into this afterwards. She was a high school student, scholarship to IUPUI to play softball, all gone in an instant.
Hell yeah. Amazing.
She went into a dark place in her marriage, in her life, and she moved out west, and she just didn't feel fulfilled. And you know what helped her? Forgiveness.
Oh,
finally.
That's a powerful food.
Isn't that crazy?
No, forgiveness is very... Ho'oponopono.
She forgave the guy who shot her.
Yeah. That's okay. He felt better and she felt better. Ho'oponopono. Have you ever practiced, everybody ever practiced that before?
Mm-mm.
Y'all know what it is? It's a Hawaiian act of forgiveness. But it's you just say, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And it's a very powerful, powerful, powerful few words there. Oh, doing selfies. Doing selfies.
That's not part of the... What
that's
is it,
okay.
Yoko Ono?
That's okay. We're just having
Yoko
fun.
Yoko Ono?
Here.
No.
Yoko
that's,
Ono.
That's somebody else.
You have to take a selfie in order to forgive someone, right?
No. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, funny enough, that's what Misty does. She takes a selfie, and in the episode, you'll hear exactly what I mean by that. So,
mm-hmm. Well, getting back to your spiritual thing,
thank you. Yeah.
How did you?
Oh man.
How would you describe where you are? Was there something that changed your spiritual walk that brought you back to thinking?
Yeah, Jesus.
Okay. Well, that's okay. But how did that happen? Did you have a moment that, like, oh shit?
It's been built. I've always been someone who's been very spiritual. I'm too optimistic not to think that someone's helping me.
Right.
I think there's too much in the world that I would be failing at if I was trying myself.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I had parents who were very, very faith oriented.
Good foundation.
Yep. My father is one of my spiritual leaders. I have another friend of mine, my cousin, who's a spiritual leader of mine. Here's the deal, folks. I grew up Catholic. My wife grew up Catholic. The institution of Catholicism, all of it is very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
To not feel guilty and bogged down. And when I realized I had a problem outside, which I won't go into this podcast, but that was the moment I realized I needed to get closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that I actually had a real problem.
You were struggling and needed help.
Right. Once I asked for help, God, he shows me every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
You were paying attention, though.
That's right.
You're awake. You got your attention.
And we have a spiralizer, and we're eating better.
Oh, spiralizer.
And I think all of it combined
is how
my faith
I
is
agree.
Growing.
It takes a lot of different components put together.
This is my favorite thing I do. I love this analogy, and I'll leave it at this.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, if I can, I read my Bible. I'm going through different books of the Bible, and I think of myself as I'm reading, I'm picturing my body, I'm armoring up against the devil. Because every day, believe it or not, there's the devil in little things. One of the first times I remembered being like, I gotta armor up against the devil and be aware, like I'm literally battling him everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't realize it till he's in your face.
Right.
And at that moment is when you can either turn into it or turn away from it,
right,
and turn towards God or into it. So one of the first times was there was a leak in my ceiling, and we had talking about money, and I was worried about our money, and I was like, that's the devil. There he is. He's trying to get me really riled up about this little leak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll fix it. I will. I always fix things.
Yeah.
But for that moment, I was like, and I could have got angry. I could have got mad. I could have got frustrated with my wife because
mm-hmm.
she was asking, what are we going to do? I don't know. But instead I said, that's the devil. I'm not going to let him bother it. Good we'll figure you. It out. I know God will help
you
us.
You denied it. Pushed it away.
So, armor up, baby.
Who is the devil?
Every day.
Is the devil...
Beelzebub?
What is the devil to you?
That's also the
sky. Do you think it's a real being, or do you think it's we live in a dual world of white hats and black hats. You know, black wolves and white wolves and good and bad. And it has to be. There has to be good. There can be no light unless there's dark. There can be no dark unless there's light. So, you know, do you think the devil is this horned dude that lives at the center of the earth, like we were told, and we're going to end then going to hell and burn in perpetuity? And I mean, is that... I'm not trying to catch you anything.
No. I'm just... You're making me think. God, this might be one of my best interviews ever. Best questionnaire ever, interviewee.
Because you know we talk about negative energy.
Sure,
energy.
Sure.
Everything's energy. Everything. So the devil will be energy. God is energy. Jesus.
Sure,
everything's
sure.
energy. You are that tree. My thoughts. That color. That flower. The bee.
Yeah, that sweat bee. I would have to say, in my opinion, the devil are the things that you know can lead you away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of picking it out. It could
right.
be something different for someone.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil knows where our weaknesses are, and he tries to hit on it.
So you could, would you consider that negative energy coming at you, that you feel that?
Yes.
It's kind of an energetic
yes.
feeling. And yes. Like you've been around people, you're like, whoa, that person's nasty. I don't want to be around them
just
anymore.
Just like people gravitate towards you for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
For,
or like why we gravitate to each other, because we're vibrating on the same frequency. And the devil is obviously on a 440 frequency or some kind of 440, yeah. but on the wrong frequency that we are, you know. And interesting, though. I just, you know, I like.
Good
you know,
question. What it, about, and for you, the same thing, more energetic yeah. based or energy based?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think heaven or hell, I create. I think that heaven could be a state of mind. I'm in perfect bliss. I'm in harmony. I'm perfect vibration frequency with God. I vibrate the same frequency as Christ because I've reached the Christ consciousness. But I can also be vibrated low, guttural, you know, hateful vibe, too. And I,
it's weird to hear him talk like that.
Yeah. With the low.
Yeah, I don't ever hear.
Well, it's like a dog. Does a dog, when you see, walk down the street, why does my dog know that that's a bad person?
That's right.
Or know it's a good person? They don't hear what the person says. They feel the energy coming from that person. If it's negative, bad energy, and that person's hateful and doesn't like, and then that dog's going to pick it. I think we're the same way. Is there a heaven, do you think?
We'll see.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that from many
people. I'd rather.
Oh, wait. They'll show me in heaven when I get there. Wait a minute.
I'd rather just do what I believe is right from my beliefs. Mm-hmm. And then the best I can do, the best mm-hmm. I can do.
Do you believe that we create with our thoughts, that like negative thoughts create negative
yes.
reactions? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've had conversations about that multiple
times. Oh, many
times.
Yeah. Alan and Joe would come in the studio during my segment and I had two segments, so there'd be like a little break between, and man, they'd all fly in the studio in between commercials with their mics on, their makeup stuff, and we'd have these incredibly intense conversations, and that's how we all kind of got to know each other.
We just started getting into crystals when I met you.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is, just, I mean, you talk about putting people in your life.
Yeah.
That's, you were meant to be, Wendell, in my life.
When the student is ready.
That's I hear
right.
that a lot.
That's right.
A lot of people are putting our lives at the time that we need them. It's just sometimes we don't recognize that they're here to save us, and
it's very much like
ourselves.
It's very much like what we talk about, in that you just have to wake up just a little bit so that you can be more mindful of what is going on around you, whether it be the heaven that you can put yourself in and live in the heaven right now, or you can live in hell right now. It's just a matter of choosing which frequency mm-hmm. you want to pick up on, mm-hmm. and what if you are aware of your own thoughts and the things going on around you, all of those things equal a more mindful living and a more whole and complete you, so you can guide yourself towards a better you, towards a better mm-hmm. community, a better society, a better world, mm-hmm. Just by one person affecting another person and affecting the next person by mm-hmm. picking up on those little things in every single moment that we live in. Mm-hmm. And allowing yourself to put the negativity aside, choosing the good as opposed to mm-hmm. the dark.
Everything's a choice.
It is, and it's
the hardest. One of the hardest things for me, in general, is to allow someone to be negative. I always mm-hmm. want to change that because I feel very positive towards life.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are times when I just am East Coast ripping. I just go
they
after it.
I'll vouch for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. But then there are also times in my life where, I mean, I moved to upstate New York, knew no one, to make $21,000 a year to cut my teeth as a television reporter. But I went in with the full positive energy that I'm going to be making friends. I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Life is going to be all right. And I did it.
You created, you manifested what you right. wanted with your focus on your mm-hmm. passion. That's yeah. the way we create, we manifest, we focus what we want on what we want.
But you can't change other people who don't.
It's not our job.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's not our job to change other people. All we do is cause pain for ourselves when we try to change somebody. It's like me correcting my wife because she doesn't do it like I do. What are you wasting your time? You know, that's silly to get in your way. I mean, let someone be, you know. And well, if you work on yourself, you got no flaws in yourself, then you can go work on other people.
Well, everyone is on their own journey, and everyone
Absolutely.
Is in a different spot in their own journey.
Them,
you have to
them where they are.
Understand that.
Yep.
And if you can wrap your mind around, and again, it comes back to being mindful and being present and in being, knowing I'm here, they're not where I am, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Right. Yeah. and get and be in a health, be in a healthy state. Your body is a temple. Your body is an antenna to the universe. So if you want to communicate with the God and the angels and the, all these things, to keep yourself on the road, not go off on. Imagine these people that have committed these crimes. They have to be so messed up and damaged and a combination of a lot of things. But I do believe that we, if we eat well, exercise, do some meditation, do some spiritual work that grounds us and keeps us centered, that's the template for what they call a lifestyle, a food-based lifestyle, is includes those three things: food, exercise, and meditation. That's the future of and our country sorely needs that right now, and I think the listeners are going to agree that there has to be some sort of change, and the change starts with us, Alan, don't you agree?
Absolutely.
We've always said it starts with you, me, individually.
I mean, you know, we're all cooking up our own recipe for whatever life we want to live. And if you take the food and choose a healthier, closer to earth, you know, from the earth, plant-based diet, or you know, more plant-based than it was yesterday anyway.
Little steps.
It's all steps.
So make it a single cheeseburger, not a double.
That's a start.
You can start, and then you take the cheese off the next day, and then you get rid of the processed, you know, flour.
Literally
the
everything on the burger, except for the seeds, sesame seeds.
You go to Burger King and you try the Impossible Whopper.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what,
yeah,
I will lock you in a room and put you in front of a TV screen that shows you one solid hour of the Amazon forest burning and the animals that are suffering and the awful thing. The lungs of the earth are being raped out just so we can have a hamburger. That's what's going on in the Amazon right now.
That's why the fires are set.
So we can grow more hamburgers, and those of that dark hand is at work again, raping Mother Gaia, raping the earth for monetary. And Sandy and I were looking at each other last night, you know, to think that we came here on earth just to go to school, to be born, go to school, get programmed, go to college, go get a job, work for the man, buy a house, go into debt, and then retire. If you think that's the reason that we're supposed to be on earth, then you got mush where your brains are supposed to be, folks.
Well, and that's the next piece of the recipe, is your spirituality, your faith, your state of mind, to be more positive and to not let these things personally get you down, understanding that, you know, you need to do what you can to make a positive change in the world, but to not let the negativity affect how you're vibrating,
right?
To allow yourself to still shine your light in the world, in whatever way that you can.
Yes.
So you have your food, and then you have the faith and the spirituality and the positivity element, and in the end, you know, you've got your recipe for living more mindfully, which always ends up with a better, more positive you. So, I think we're probably running low on time.
That way, you won't end up on Joe's show, being featured as a mass murderer. You know,
that's it. You don't want to make it on my show.
He's not a mass murderer. He ate well. He ate a plant-based diet, Bill.
No,
he's all right.
No, yeah. And believe me, the next couple of times I meet with people, I have a couple of one of the interviews I'm pitching is to do it with Richard Essex.
Oh yeah.
As someone who covered crime for years. Here in Indianapolis. That's going to be one of my next interviews. I think from now on, whenever I do interviews with Richard or whoever my future interviews are, I'm going to make sure to bring up why it's important to have a plant-based diet.
That's right.
And that's because of you guys.
So we can learn how to
live right now. Joe, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. We love you, brother.
Very much so.
You're
awesome. Thank you, my friends. You guys are awesome.
Hope everybody enjoyed that interview. I certainly did. It was a beautiful day, and Wendell is such a beautiful soul, as he says, and it's just a very calming podcast. Now, if you noticed, in the background of the podcast, I did something different. Usually, I have very ominous, scary kind of music to go along with telling of the story, and it's pretty much the same background music for my podcast, but for their podcast, what they do is they put it's very calming music that they put in the background of their podcast. There's scientific vibrations that are being played through their podcast. And so I did that for this one. I don't know. Could you tell the difference? I don't know. I could tell the difference a little bit. I mean, it definitely felt a lot lighter than what my normal podcast. So very funny that this is all different. And I hope you enjoyed it. Again, if you liked it, please support my Patreon page, patreon.com/infamousindie. Website infamousindie.com has all the info as well. Oh, beautiful souls, thank you for stopping by. And as always, I say at the end of the podcast, stay safe.